Welcome to Grace Communion Richardson Youth Sunday Live Stream Worship Services. Hi, I'm Leo Burnett, Assistant Pastor here at the church. As a diverse group, we seek to know Jesus, make Him known through worship, family fellowship, and neighborhood engagement, compelled by the unconditional love of our God. Any comments or questions or prayer requests you may have, please contact us at the email address you see on the screen, and we will get back in touch with you. Effective Easter, we will begin our live in-person services as well and continue live streaming on Easter. Isn't that exciting? Your continued financial support helps us share the gospel of hope and love through making Jesus known. The different ways you can give to further Grace Communion Richardson's gospel effort is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. Join me in prayer if you will. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you love us and we love you, and we thank you so much for your continued and constant presence with us. Father, as we move toward that Easter time of the year that is so powerfully emblematic of who you are and who we are as worshipers of you, God, help us to understand and to grasp the depth of your love for us, of your priority for us, of humanity and your care for them and for each one of us, past, present, and future, of your inclusion of our lives and in our various areas of growth. God, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask that you would guide and direct everything that is said and done this day. Father, we are also in the process of seeking God, seeking you for the city as a group. And those that have joined with us in that effort, we pray that you would just stir their hearts and give them that sense of unity that you intend for us all. And let us, Father, be servants to this community and each of our communities, wherever our particular Jerusalem may be. God, we thank you, and we put this service in your hands, and with great expectations, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We will now have our Faith on Fire champion, Terry, with the Children of Grace with an object lesson for us. Following that, we will have our praise team lead us in song. Then we will have today's message.
Hi, I'm Josh.
Thanks.
And we're here to talk to you about Grace Communion Richardson's youth ministry program.
Every first Sunday of the month, the praise and worship is led by the youth.
The younger kids meet at 12:15, and the teens meet at 4:05 p.m. Please visit our website at gcrichardson.org for more information.
We hope to see you there.
So, do you know what this is?
Tape.
It's a tape. It's a movie on VHS, video recording tape for VHS movies. Now this, you know what this is? It's also a DVD. All right, do you know what this is? It looks like the DVD. It's the same size, but it's called Blu-ray. So this is a different technology than the DVD. It's newer technology, but you can play movies on either of these. Some people still have a VHS recorder that they can watch those old movies on, but most people have either a DVD player or a Blu-ray player now. And technology changes. Everything changes. There's always something new coming. And it can be hard to stay with the latest trends, be it clothes, music, or even the words we say. Do you think it would be funny and a little weird if I said groovy all the time? Like it was the 1960s. But if I said cool, it would be totally normal, right? Everybody says cool. Well, the world is constantly changing. What's cool doesn't stay cool forever. People change too. But do you know who always stays the same?
No.
No? Can you guess who always stays the same and doesn't change?
God?
God. Very good. You can see in the Bible that God stays consistent. You can always count on him to stand by his word, and you can always count on him to love you. If you feel alone this week, remember that God is always there for you. He is unchanging. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So be thankful today that God isn't like the world, as if there are a new version of him every few years. God doesn't change at all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Thank you. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he had raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken.
God's priority is people. We have often heard the importance of getting our priorities in order, you know, our ducks in a row, if you will. We are counseled about our relationships and how we should have our priorities in order. In other words, you don't go into a relationship because they've got a good-looking car, you know, or things of that nature. We have our priorities. We've got get in place, you know, in those relations. As parents, we have our priorities in order, right? Our children, as they're growing up, need to know a direction in life. And that's where we as parents begin to step in and guide and help them learn what priorities are. You know, candy is not the biggest priority, although my granddaughter kind of thinks it is, you know. And we have our priorities in order as stewards of this earth. God gave us incredible creation that he called good, and we should be taking care of it. You know, sometimes we get our priorities out of order and hurt our environment and each other as a result of that. As stewards of the beauty of love, unconditional, we are given the freedom to exercise priorities. Seekers, followers, students, disciples of inquisitors of God need to follow a pathway of priorities to find the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about what the priority of God is? God's priority is people. You personally and I are his priority. God desires a personal relationship with you. We Christians unintentionally have been given the impression, we've been giving the impression at times that God's priority is to catch you in a sin so he can punish you. Well, God the Father has even been seen as an abusive father at times. Especially when you think that he sent his son to be killed. Oh, me. Is that really God? These impressions are lies, let me tell you, and not supported by who Almighty, the Almighty loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit really is. It's important to know that God is love. He cannot act in any way but through love. Followers of Jesus Christ will be bringing good news to all people of how God can only respond to his creation in love. Again, God is love. As John, that was one of his great friends, his disciples, and became an apostle, expresses in another book, a letter to fellow Christians, 1 John 4:8, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." In that letter, John goes to great lengths to impress upon other Christians of God's love for each other and toward God. God's priority of empowerment and encouragement to love as Jesus loves. This is not a syrupy kind of love that modernity has tried to define for us, but a deep, abiding, unconditional, unmovable, dynamic, and powerful love. A kind of love that tears fear out by its roots when we are going through the hard times and trial in the neighborhoods close to us. And we will have times of trial, be assured. This kind of love frees us from a bondage of fear because of the hope of eternity that lies within. Humanity, image bearers of God's love, had grown cold in their expression of that unconditional love to others. It's that kind of priority for humanity, for showing love and inclusion that Jesus confronts at the temple in Jerusalem when arriving for the Lord's Passover. A glimpse at the backstory may help us to grasp the passion actions of Jesus that he took at the temple and is related to us by John. As we read in the scripture reading for the day in John 2, 13 through 22, as a practicing Jew, he would go to worship Almighty God at the temple in Jerusalem. John makes it clear in the first chapter of John that all things were created by the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ, who was God. And in Genesis, we read how God created man to have a close relationship with him from the very beginning. Mankind was a priority, and that love was expressed by him when he created all creation. God called it good. Note this in Genesis. I encourage you to read it at your leisure. The Word created everything. Then it got to the point of creating man in his image. When he created mankind, he said it was very good. Note, as a result of humanity being created, creation could now not only be good, but very good. It was God's priority that mankind became unified in the way God loves. He gave humanity the unique capacity to choose life, the way of love, in relationship to him and each other. Or man could choose to separate himself from God by the exercise of that capacity. Mankind chose in the beginning age to turn away from the kind of love toward God and others that he was encouraged by God to live in. God's plan for mankind could not be thwarted, though. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knew from the beginning that humanity would need to understand the unconditional love of God toward his beloved priority, mankind. And to grasp that, we must come to see their blindness. They would need to know and know that they know God would become incarnate in Jesus, who was the Messiah, the Savior of all humanity, who responds to his love. He would be the very temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember that phrase, temple of the Holy Spirit, the embodiment of God's love? Keep that in mind as we go forward. The kind of relationship that God is calling humanity into could be said to be an incarnational, triune, response-oriented relationship. It's a big mouthful, isn't it? But it's worth getting to know about Jesus becoming incarnate, becoming human. And as a human being, the entire Trinity is drawn into humanity. And we begin to learn how to respond to that orientation in that kind of a close dynamic relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit entered humanity in Jesus as the Messiah for the benefit of the prioritized crown of creation, humanity. He would empower them to be able to respond, to be in union with Jesus, and thus eternally connected to Almighty God. Now let's walk through this very powerful event and the confrontation that Jesus had with the Jews at the time of the Lord's Passover in the book of John. John 2:13, when it is almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. What was going on at the temple? Let's take a look at the layout of the temple in the courts, if you will. You'll notice this overall view of the temple, and the Holy of Holies is on the far left. And in the middle, we find the court of the Jews. And then on the right is the court, that would be men, by the way. And then the one on the right, the far right, is kind of a plus sign. It looks like a plus sign. That's the court of the Jewish women. Then outside the wall, to the right of that, would be the courtyard of the Gentiles. We see an overview of that temple. Jesus is coming up to this court of the Gentiles. Now, there was a sign that was discovered in the late 1800s and then another one in 1935. And basically, that sign said this. One was complete and one was a fragment, but it said, "No outsider shall enter the protective enclosure around the sanctuary, and whoever is caught will only have himself to blame for the ensuing death." What a welcome. Now, this is the court of the Gentiles, the one outside that wall that Jesus came upon with all of the vendors and money changers doing business. Let's look at John 2, 14 and 15. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of the cords and drove all of the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Picture, if you will, for a moment. Here is the court of the Gentiles outside the walls. And on the court of the Gentiles, it was filled with people selling animals and the merchandising going on, hawking their goods, if you will. And let me talk about that for just a moment, the animals that were being sold. On Passover, when you came to Jerusalem, you were expected to offer an animal to be sacrificed. Now, that animal had to be certified as unblemished. The ones doing the certifying are the priests at the temple. Now, some sources indicate that the priests would not certify animals brought by the people for sacrifice as unblemished. So the people had to turn around and buy animals from the vendors who had certified unblemished sacrificial animals. Now, who certified the animals as unblemished? The vendors would give a kickback to the priest for those certifications. A load poured out, and the priests were getting rich. What were their priorities, I wonder? If that were not bad enough, understand that the Jews, or the worshipers, had to bring an offering to the temple at this time. And that money had to be unblemished. An ordinary corn would not be accepted. It was not suitable. It was not clean as an acceptable offering. And people often traveled for long distances. And so they bring coins to both buy an animal to sacrifice, but also to give an offering. But if it was not clean, it had to be exchanged. So they would go to the money changers. And the money changers would put a nice little tax on top of that. And I wonder who else was getting rich. I'll leave that to your own imagination. All these people, Jews and Gentiles alike, had come to worship Almighty God at the temple. And it was being made very hard for them. They were not being very welcomed by the God of Israel if you looked at it from that perspective. If you were burdened by his appointed leadership at every step in your desire and effort to worship, these were individuals that God had called upon to serve humanity, to be an expression of his love from the very beginning. Well, it gets worse. We find that the Gentiles were excluded from being able to worship God from the temple courts of the Gentiles because of all the profiteering and the sales and things going on in the area they were called to come to worship God. The poor were made poorer by fraudulent arrangements and kickbacks the temple administrators had with vendors. The priorities, it seems, of the temple keepers, the priests, it seemed to be money and power more than the worship of our mighty God. Is it any wonder Jesus was infuriated? In John 2, 15, 16, let us read. "So he made a whip of cords." Now, think about that for just a moment. That took a little time because it was he had to make those whips. Now, he had not lost his temper. I think it's important to understand this. He was not out of control. So he made this whip out of cords and drove all the temple courts, both sheep and cattle, drove everyone from it. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Get out of here! Stop turning my Father's house into a market." Can you imagine for a moment? God in Jesus, who is pure love, saw his children, his beloved creation, being excluded and their desire to worship hindered. Can't you just picture the face of Jesus It must have been terrifying. He ran all of these individuals out. The disciples were a little slow, but they were beginning to put two and two together. We read in John 2:17. His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." They were remembering Psalm 69:9, where it said, "For zeal for your house consumes me." A good Jew knew the Psalms. Then you might have the Holy Spirit begin to nudge those memories into place where they belong. Oh, and the Jews present, the great washed, the ones who would be the light to a dark world, the Jews, particularly those in charge, what was their devout response? And what was Jesus' response? I suspect there was a lot said at this time, but here's what John summarizes in John 2:18. The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all of this?" They were demanding that Jesus produce some credentials to support his house cleaning activities. Who gave him the right to do this, to interrupt their power structure, their money-making opportunities? Who gave him the right? The Messiah, Jesus, did not hesitate and bluntly told them how the cow ate the cabbage. You'll forgive the archaic term, but I think you get the point. Jesus in John 2:19 said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." Now the backstory of their limited and biased and darkened experience pours out of their mouths. The Pharisees, if you will, or the Jewish leaders. They were having their pocketbook affected and their authority and power questioned. They were incredulous. "Is this guy dumb or what? He has no common sense," was the tone of their voice. Can't you picture it? In John 2:20, they replied, It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" And today, when we are not listening and responding to the Holy Spirit, speaking to us outside the noise of our emotions and our feelings and bad experiences and the five senses and other influences, we think the followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, lovers of Jesus, and others are missing a few screws of reality. The Apostle Paul, a brilliant Jewish leader and scholar, previously bent on destroying all the followers of Jesus, now convinced by seeing through the noise and witnessing truth, comes to this conclusion. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 20-25. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God in the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, you and me and everybody, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than any human strength." Those not yet responding to the love of God, not responding to the priority God has for every human being, have a hard time seeing through the noise. Even the followers, his disciples, had a hard time with this. It takes time to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. It takes time to realize, under the influence and leading of the Holy Spirit, how much of a priority God has for his beloved creation, you and me and all people, past, present, and future. The disciples have an aha moment and realize later that the temple of the Holy Spirit was Jesus, and they would come to participate in that incredible reality, John 2, 21 and 22. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. From the beginning, humanity was and is and always will be a priority of God. At creation, making man and woman image bearers created to reflect the love of the triune God toward others in relationship. And for thousands of years, planning on restoration through Jesus' incarnational sacrifice, assuming the sinfulness of all people, providing an escape from the bondage humanity had foolishly embraced in the beginning, seeking and calling and encouraging through the grace offered to all of humanity. You and I, along with everyone else, has been, is now, and always will be God's priority. God loves us unconditionally. He can't do anything else. God is love. Next week, we will continue as we head toward Easter to explain the powerful message of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. God's love and priority for humanity is crying loudly for us to hear it clearly. And next week, the pastor will be talking about being born from above. Tune in next week. I hope you will join us for the Zoom meeting beginning at 4 o'clock that both include our discussion today, but also includes what's on our minds as we learn to express a willingness to listen and discuss, laugh and cry with each other in fellowship. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, oh God, how we love you. And we desire to be a reflection of your love because it is overwhelming at times. Your mercy and your kindness that you show to us in places and at times is overwhelming. And sometimes when we feel like you're not there, that we feel the load is so heavy, you are there. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you'd open our minds to grasp the depth of your love. When we see other people, Father, that we would recognize that they're priorities to you and they should be priorities to us, even when they're our enemies. God, we eagerly desire to learn more about you, to know you deeply, to hear your voice speaking to us, Father, and telling us about your love and guiding us and directing us as we study your word. We desire, Father, to be that image-bearing people that you have called. And let forgiveness be quick on our hearts. And not just toward others, but toward ourselves as well, because you have forgiven us. And let us realize that we're not perfect, but we're growing. And our mistakes, you have forgiven. And let us not hesitate to be a light into all the world around us. We pray, Father, for our nation, for our community, and for each individual, for our family members, to come to know you. And may your peace reside in us as we move toward understanding the depth of your presence in humanity, your death, your resurrection, your ascension, and the hope of the fullness of the kingdom being established in the future. And it's in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Now join me and our worship team with a final song as we close the week out. We look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.